Well, do please keep your Bibles open there. Gracie, thank you for reading that passage to us. All of us, I take it, need help praying. Praying is a simple act. It's talking to God. It's not rocket science. It's not kind of complicated in that sense. And yet, because it's also a spiritual act, it is something we find hard. Prayer is not like any other conversation we have with any other person. My favourite writer, C.S. Lewis, once wrote these words about prayer, being very honest. He said, "Prayer is tiresome. An excuse to omit it is never unwelcome. When it is over, this casts a feeling of relief and holiday over the rest of the day. We are reluctant to begin, we are delighted to finish." And Jesus this morning gives us a parable, we are told, to help us pray. So let me say a word of prayer now as we look at these words together. Our Father, prayer is something we need help with, and we pray, therefore, that you would work through this passage this morning, that you would remind us why we should always be praying to you, that you'd help us as a body of believers to be good prayers. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, do have a look down at the beginning of our passage. Luke makes it very clear. Jesus didn't just wake up one day and think, you know, I think I'm going to do a parable about prayer today. That would be nice. No, we're told in verse 1, then Jesus told his disciples a parable. In other words, this follows on from what we were looking at last time. It's hot on the heels of what Jesus was saying at the end of chapter 17. And if you were here last week, you will remember Jesus was teaching about the coming of God's kingdom. Turn back a page, if you would, to verse 20 of chapter 17. Verse 20, the Pharisees had their diaries out, and they asked Jesus when the kingdom of God would come. And Jesus replied, verse 20, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is, as we saw last week, among you." The kingdom is already with us. And Jesus teaches, as we saw last week, that in its present coming, the kingdom is often characterized by hiddenness. It's under the radar. The kingdom is coming incognito. But the kingdom will come in its fullness one day in a way that will be unmistakable. Jesus taught us how his return would be cataclysmic. It would be sudden. And it would bring a big division. You can miss the kingdom now. You will not miss the kingdom then. Jesus said, verse 34, "I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left." There will be a complete division among humanity. Begs the question, verse 37, "Where, Lord?" And then Jesus gives this cryptic reply, "Where there is a dead body, the vultures will gather." Which I think Jesus is saying in that verse, you don't need to ask. You don't need to ask where a dead body is. The vultures make that obvious. And you won't need to ask when that day comes. That is what is going to happen. That is the great reality, that the coming of God's kingdom in its fullness, the return of the Son of Man, that is the reality that is to shape us now. And it's in the light of that reality that we're told Jesus, verse 1, told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. It's lovely. Luke tells us what this parable is for. A lot of parables, you're given the parable and then you just have to try and figure out what it means. But with this parable, we don't have to scratch our heads. We're told the parable is to show us we should always pray and not give up. That is going to be the effect of this parable if we understand it. And so let us dive into this parable. Jesus tells us a story of two particular people. And as he does so, he shows us why it is we should keep praying and not give up. Well, the first person Jesus teaches about in this parable is a judge, verse 2. In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. Not a good man to have as your judge. No sense of accountability to anyone else. And no compassion on other people. He could not care less what people have to go through. And then Jesus introduces us to a widow. Verse 3, there was a widow in the town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. If the first thing we're told about the judge is his character, the first thing we're told about the widow is her need. Widows generally were very needy in the time of Jesus. They had no other means of support. To be a widow often meant you lacked provision and you lacked protection. But this widow has an additional need. She has a need for justice. Someone evidently has taken advantage of her and treated her wrongly. And so she repeatedly comes to this judge saying, grant me justice against my adversary. And yet, because of this judge, verse 4, for some time he refused. She keeps coming, he keeps refusing. That's a horrible combination to have. Huge need on the one hand, and yet official neglect on the other. And this is just a reminder, that is often what the real world is like for many people. Wronged systemically, and yet with no means of finding justice. To this judge, the woman is just a nobody. He doesn't care about her situation. He doesn't care what she has gone through. And so as she keeps returning, he keeps refusing. But then something changes. Verse 4, for some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, at least he's self-aware, he's got that going for him, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. Eventually, he does the right thing. Nothing has changed in him. He's still lacking in compassion. It's not that he suddenly cares about her. No, he's just worn down by her. The only thing this widow has turns out to be the only thing she needs, and that is persistence. She just keeps coming. And you can imagine it, when the judge wakes up in the morning and the post plops through the door, there's always a letter from that woman. Every time he nips out of the courtroom to grab a coffee or a bite of lunch, she's there waiting for him. Every time he opens his inbox, there's another email from her. The moment he gets home, the phone rings and it's her. Everywhere he turns, there she is, seeking justice. She keeps bothering him and bothering him and bothering him. And by the end of it, he's exhausted. He says, I'm going to see she gets justice so she won't wear me out with her coming. She's going to do me in. She'll finish me off. You can imagine him just getting more and more exhausted, the bags under his eyes getting bigger and bigger. And so for all the wrong reasons, he ends up doing the right thing. He sees that she gets justice. And so both of them are happy. She gets her justice. He gets his peace and quiet. End of parable. And we're told this is the parable to show us we should always pray and not give up. So there it is. What are we to make of it? Well, thankfully, Jesus carries on and explains a bit of the passage to us. And I'm very glad he does, because if we just had the parable on its own, I think we would misunderstand it. We know we're meant to keep on praying. We've had this parable of a very persistent widow. And so the logical conclusion to draw is, great, okay, so if you just nag God long enough, He'll eventually do what you say. That seems to be the message, right? Just keep pestering him, be a complete pain in the neck, and he will eventually give you what you ask for. Well, the parable is to encourage us to keep praying, but not by comparing God to the judge, but by contrasting the two of them. So the message isn't just nag and eventually you'll get your own way. Many of us will know that children are good at doing that, and sometimes you just get worn down. The request keeps coming, please, 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 please. And at some point you just think, okay, I want a quiet life, yes. But it doesn't work with God. That's not the message of this parable. No, there are two encouragements for us to pray. And the first is this. I haven't done the headings for the screen, I'm afraid, but I think you can remember these two points. Firstly, God is not like the unjust judge. God is not like him. Jesus says, verse 6, listen to what the unjust judge says. What does the unjust judge say? He says, I don't care about justice. I just want peace and quiet. And as we hear the judge say that, we're not to think, gosh, he's quite like God, isn't he? No, we're to think how different God is to that judge. And the point is this, if even that unjust rat bag of a judge will eventually do the right thing, how much more will a God who is perfectly just do what is right? So verse 7, Jesus says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? The answer is, of course, God will do what is right. He won't keep putting us off. But notice Jesus assumes something in these verses. He begins to show us why it is we need this parable. Jesus, it turns out, is not just talking about prayer in general. No, Jesus assumes that there will be a particular burden to our prayers. So again, verse 7, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? Verse 8, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Jesus has already told his disciples at the end of chapter 17 that they will have to wait for his coming. He's already told us that there will be days when we long for the Son of Man to come in his fullness. And now he shows us one of the reasons why we will long for him. And that is, Jesus assumes that as we wait for the kingdom, we will face injustice. Jesus assumes, as God's people, we will face injustice while we wait for the kingdom of God to come. And friends, we don't have to look far to see many examples of that being the case. Just over the last few days, I came across the following examples of injustice being faced by Christians. In Nepal, they are trying to put through a new constitution that is going to take steps towards making Christianity illegal in that country. In Mexico this month, there have been converts to Christianity who have been put in prison because of their conversion. And there have been two churches that have been bombed just at the beginning of August. I've read about violence against Christians in northern Nigeria, churches again being burnt down or bombed, Christians being kidnapped, and Christian children being pressed into service for Boko Haram. We see that God's people face injustice. And in a much, much smaller way, we see some of that even here in the UK. We see Christians deliberately misrepresented in the media. We see Christians subject to unfair lawsuits. And so Jesus assumes we will have many reasons to cry for justice day and night. And so we need to be reminded that God is not like the unjust judge. I don't know what particular instances of injustice are most on your mind. Maybe you've been reading about or hearing about other Christians and particular situations they face. Maybe you are dealing with injustice in your own life. But let me ask you this. Do you really think that you care about injustice more than God does? No, God is not like the unjust judge. God is not someone whose door needs to be hammered down before he will do something. God doesn't need persuading to take an interest. God is not like the unjust judge. So that's the first thing for us to see. God is not like the unjust judge. And then secondly, we are not like the widow. We're not like the widow in the parable. We are in the sense that we are weak and we are helpless. And yet we are very different to her. What was the widow to the judge? She was insignificant. She was irrelevant. And she was annoying. Have a look at verse 7. And think, what are we to God? Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? To God, we as his people are not nameless. We're not strangers. No, Jesus says we are God's chosen ones. God chose us. We have a relationship with him in the first place. We are able to pray to him, not because we've had to track him down and get his attention, but because God has taken the initiative with us. He's the one who wanted the relationship with us. And friends, that means, as God's people this morning, he is always more willing to hear us pray than we are to pray. God chose us. We are his beloved children. Elsewhere in the scripture, God describes us as the apple of his eye. And so the encouragement of this parable isn't that it's possible to wear God down just by nagging enough. No, the good news of this parable is you don't need to. God has chosen us. We are his chosen ones. And therefore, God won't keep putting us off. End of verse 7. Will he keep putting us off? No. We are not a frustrating item on God's to-do list. I don't know about you, but tomorrow morning I will begin to work out what I need to do for the rest of the week, what I need to get done. I'll make a to-do list. And I know that there'll be some items on that to-do list. I think, oh yeah, I'll do that one straight away. There'll be other items where I'm going to be tempted to think, you know, I think that one can wait. I might put that off till next week. We are not like that to God. No, verse 8, Jesus says, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. God will answer our prayers. Begs the question though, doesn't it, verse 8? What does Jesus mean by quickly? Jesus says, God will see that they get justice and quickly. Well, let me tell you what I think it can't mean. I don't think it means that there will always be instant justice for all Christians. In fact, we see that that is not the case in the world around us. Think of our brothers and sisters in North Korea. They have been crying out to God day and night for justice. Not just for the past few weeks, not just for the past year or two. They've been praying that in the face of horrific brutality for decades. Decades and decades. Now, I don't think Jesus is promising instant justice for all his people. If that was the case, we wouldn't need to cry out to God day and night, would we? We just need to cry out to God once the first time, bang, prayer answered, No more prayer needed. No, Jesus isn't talking about God's response time. He's talking about God's character and God's commitment. The point, I think, is this. When the day comes for every wrong to be put right, God will not dawdle. There'll be no hesitance. There'll be no reluctance on his part. When Jesus says quickly, I think he means suddenly. When the day comes for God to bring final justice, that judgment will come immediately. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 6, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled. God will do what is right. God will not hesitate to do what is right, because he is not like the unjust judge, and we are not like the widow. And therefore, we should always pray and not give up. We always pray not because we can't believe there's still injustice. We always pray because we know for sure that one day there won't be. We know the kingdom is going to come. But Jesus doesn't finish there. He ends with a challenge at the end of verse 8. I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You see, we're tempted to think, well, the presence of injustice in this world must mean there's a problem upstairs. There's a problem with heaven. But actually, Jesus says that the question mark is not over God's faithfulness, the question mark is over ours. The issue isn't with what's not going on in heaven, the issue is with what will be found on earth. And Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Interesting, he doesn't say, will the Son of Man find prayer? Expect him to say that after a parable about prayer. No, he says, will the Son of Man find faith? And now we see why this parable matters so much. How do we know when someone has faith? What is the sign, or one of the signs, that someone trusts in Jesus Christ? How do we know who truly are the people of the kingdom? When that division comes that Jesus described, how do we know those who are going to be on God's side? Well, we see one of the ways we know in this parable. Will a Son of Man find faith? Verse 1. He told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. The Son of Man finds faith in his people who pray right to the end and don't give up. The sign that we have faith is that we continue to pray. It's not that we once prayed back in the day and it was all very dramatic and encouraging and exciting. The sign is that we always pray and do not give up. The sign that we are people of the kingdom that is to come is that that is where our confidence lies. And so we keep praying. Friends, there are a lot of things that will help us to pray. Good resources, good books. Praying on your own will help you to be someone who prays with others. And praying with others will help you to be someone who prays on your own. But the thing that will most help us to pray and keep praying isn't technique, isn't our posture, isn't the time of day. It is knowing what it is we have going with God. What will help us to keep praying and not give up is knowing that God is not like the unjust judge. God loves justice far more than we do. And we are not like the widow. We're not just some nobody trying to get God's attention. He loves us and has chosen us. Well, let's pray as we close. Our Father, we so often need encouragement and help to pray as your people. And so we thank you that this passage reminds us of the kind of God you are. A God who is not like that judge. A God who is passionate about his people, who is passionate about what is right. Father, we thank you that our prayers to you are never wasted. We thank you for your commitment to doing what is right. We thank you that we are your chosen ones, that you've chosen us to be in a relationship with you, and therefore you love to hear us pray. So please encourage us, help us to encourage one another to be those who keep praying and who don't give up. Amen.